words on water.
Welcome to Words on Water, a podcast from the Water Environment Federation. I'm the host, Travis Loop, and today we are joined by Rudy Chow, the director of the Department of Public Works for the City of Baltimore. Thanks for making some time to talk with us today.
Thank you, Travis.
Yeah, so definitely a number of issues I wanted to talk about, but could you let people know a little bit about your current position, what your portfolio is with that, and then kind of the background, how you got into water and made your way to where you are today?
Sure. Okay, so Baltimore City Department of Public Works, specifically we're talking about water. So the department has operation in water, water treatment, and then wastewater treatment, and stormwater. Aside from those sort of water tracks, The department also responsible for public works. I mean, the solid waste operation, as well as energy management, looking for alternative energy sources and others.
Yeah.
And so it's a pretty exciting position. We have about close to 2,700 folks working in the department, but obviously the water track is a huge part of the portfolio in general.
Yeah. Yeah, how many customers would you say you serve on the water side?
We're serving about 1.8 million customers. Wow. Even though this is a city department, but we are the so-called regional provider for water for the city as well as the five surrounding counties.
Okay.
Namely Howard County, Anne Arundel County, Baltimore County, and Carroll County, and Harford County.
Oh, wow.
Some are wholesale on the raw water side, some of them are retail on the finished water side.
Okay. And how did you make your way to this position? How did you start? When was the beginnings of working in water and then kind of led you to this?
Yeah, it's been very interesting. It's actually by accident, I would say. When I was going to college, going through civil engineering track, and my focus really was on structure. Structural engineering and designing and such. I had a position sort of secure with Bechtel Power. At the time, I was doing summer intern with them for designing nuclear power plants. And then the nuclear power industry sort of died when Three Mile Island happened, and that's like about the time when I graduated.
Oh boy.
So all of a sudden I found out I had no position, no job. And then so I took a position with the Washington Suburban Sanitary Commission, thinking it was just a short term.
Here's a paycheck, right?
Yeah, yeah. And then I can get back to what I wanted to do in terms of the structural engineering. And that's like, it's like 34 years later, I'm still in the water industry now, enjoying every minute of it.
Wow.
It's, time flies.
Yeah. What kept you in it? You got interested in water as part of that, that work.
Sure. And I would say career advancement is one of this thing that which I'm really trying to focus on in Baltimore City really is about when someone new coming in, is there a clear career path for them? Mm-hmm. And WSSC has been excellent for me. Mm-hmm. I was able to move about in operation, maintenance, engineering, constructions, all aspects of the so-called operation there. And just having a whole lot of fun and an ability to move about and learn new things. So the career path was excellent. So eventually I moved from entry-level engineer and climbed through the ladder and all the way became team chief for customer service and customer care, where there was looking over maintenance, systems maintenance, customer service, and I served as interim deputy general manager for almost 2 years there. Then I found this position in Baltimore City 6.5 years ago, and I retired from WSSC and went over there to Baltimore City.
Okay. Well, you just touched on some of the kind of the career opportunities, and that's one of the big things I wanted to talk to you about today. I saw you speak a few months ago back at the Great Water City Summit that WEF held in New York City, and you were on a panel about workforce and kind of how to address the workforce issues out there. Could you talk about the challenges that we're seeing in the water sector right now when it comes to workforce, and maybe how, you know, what you're seeing in Baltimore when it comes to challenges, kind of the overlap?
Sure. So I sort of looking at workforce development as, first of all, when we're talking about operator in the treatment plants, the maintenance of workforce out there. First of all, there seems to be very little interest among the millennials and others want to get into our field. But at the same time, vast majority of my folks that currently, I would say a good half of them are basically eligible for retirement.
Wow. Yeah.
But you know, we find ourselves that looking behind us to see who's coming in to take our positions, there are none. And so that's one dilemma. But at the same time, we saying, well, is it because people are not interested, or is it people didn't know about, or is combination both? So we start attacking sort of on both fronts. We start promoting water jobs out there, going to high schools and talking to the young folks, and through a program, what we call a YH2O, which is the youth sort of the mentorship program that we started about 3 years ago, getting great tractions. We've been netting about 16 or so folks every year.
Bringing them, 16 or so folks you're bringing into the
water industry.
Wow,
yeah.
Okay,
so
great.
Actually, but obviously the needs is a lot greater than the, you know, just the 16 folks per year. But we're getting better tractions using these so-called young men and young women out there through social media to help us to get the word out to their friends in the neighborhoods, in the school, to say, hey, there are actual jobs in the water industry.
So you actually encourage them, like, hey, be active on your Instagram and Twitter and Facebook and let your friends know about
because most people don't think about it. They turn the faucet and water comes out. They don't really think about, well, where's this water come from and all that. So helping the youth make connections. That is important. But at the same time, we found the position, or certainly water job, is steady, has good benefits. You know, the pay is decent enough to make a living. But for nothing else, you know, we are, you know, now at the era where we need to take better care of our environment. You know, it's getting to that social aspect of environmental awareness become very, very important. So that's where our focus has been. It's we know the needs is there, but we know we gotta use today's technology, like social media and others, to help us to attract young talents to come in. But then at the same time, Baltimore City, just like any other inner cities, we have a lot of, you know, sort of unemployed folks out there, and it's about job creation, drive the better, you know, economic engine for the revitalization of the city and all that. So everything is intricate part of getting a better, vibrant city going forward.
Yeah, that's interesting. So one of the other things you talked about is that when you get folks into, you know, new folks into your water workforce, how you develop them, and you talked about giving them different opportunities, kind of like you talked about with your own personal experience, being able to work in different parts of the department. Could you talk about that a little bit?
Sure. So what I was referring to is really our engineering track now.
Okay.
So Baltimore City, like many, many other municipalities over the years, due to budget cuts or other factors, through retirement, many of our institutional knowledge has left through retirement. And vast majority, if not all of the work, were contracted out to our consultant to do the basic design to very sophisticated designs. So going back a couple years, we made a decision to say, you know what, we need to rebuild our foundation. That means we need to be able, as an organization, to be able to do designs, the basic designs, the day-to-day designs in-house. And then hire the consultant to do sort of higher level work for us. So as a result, we started recruiting engineers. Engineers coming in, just in the last, I would say, a couple of years, we were able to recruit, you know, anywhere from 50 to 60 engineers, with some of them with zero experience, just fresh graduates, and some of them with very little experience, and the idea is, how do we make these young engineers become, one, better engineer, and two, how do we make them be more understandable to our operation? So for the purpose of growth, to bring the institutional knowledge back in. So the idea was, once these engineers come on board, we need to have a what we call a career rotation. That means you may start in the water treatment plant, but the idea is to rotate you to wastewater treatment plants, to rotate you to engineering, to do design work on the water side, wastewater side, or stormwater side, going to constructions. The idea is millennials, that these kids that like to, they get bored very quickly.
Yeah, short attention spans.
Short attention spans. So this sort of help us kill two birds with one stone. They come in, because they're short attention span, they spend something sometimes there, and they say, well, we're ready to move on. So give them go assign them to a new area for our purpose, for our benefits, for long term, but at the same time, it's like a new assignment. It's a new job to them. So all of a sudden, their interests perked up again. So through that, I think it's a win-win for everybody, win for the organization down the road. The hope is 3 to 5 years down the road, we are able to have an army of our engineers internally with well-diverse experiences and knowledges, and be able to do the basic stuff that we need, rather than just everything just exclusively contracting out. So that's on the professional side. And then, of course, on the operator side, just talked about the mentorship, bringing the operator in. And engineer is just one area, because I think as an organization like ours, we have finance needs. We have needs in HR area, in all aspects of it. So using that same model with idea, long view in terms of how do you help yourself, how do you grow yourself, how do you better yourself, we decide to do what we call a homegrown strategy and lay out a very clear career path for folks to keep them motivated, keep them sort of focused.
So it benefits you all because you build up that knowledge and people are cross-trained. It benefits them because it keeps them keeps things fresh for them as they're starting out, but then it probably helps them find where they like to be best. They get these experiences and, oh, I'm really good at this particular avenue or something.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. That's a long-term, once the, what I call the rotation program stops. That means you have been exposed to all sort of the area that we want to make sure you are exposed to. Then we, for nothing else, the manager, the supervisors will be evaluating the person. So it's the individual sort of looking at what they do and then determine, say, well, I really like this area. But at the same time, for management to say, you know, we see what he's strong in versus what the area that he might need some additional help and support there. And we'd be able to utilize them to the strength that these folks that has with us.
There's been a good bit of talk about millennials and some of the challenges they pose with their desire to kind of move around and keep things fresh and all that. What do you is there anything that jumps out as that they bring positives they bring to the workforce that about their generation that's valuable?
Absolutely. I think the fact that they have very little patience, right? So they want They want instant gratification. They want to see instant results and all that. It's sort of that's the dimension that what I call it, a very much needed boost. From my perspective, looking at my department, we have a lot of long-term employees working with us. As we all know, while you're working for an organization for long-term, while you're contributing, sometimes you may slow down a bit. You're no longer as energized as much. And then the fact that, for example, as you sort of go through your career, you learn to sometimes sort of shy away from controversial subjects and all that. These young folks come in, they had no boundary. They want to challenge us. And so I look at it from a strict positive perspective and bring a fresh air into the organization, energize, and also at the same time, the young one able to challenge the older one to say, have you thought about this? And then let's just say we tried it in the past. So there's that information change. You know, we tried it. These were the lessons learned, why we didn't do it that way. And so it's a teaching moment. I think it's a refreshing. In a nutshell, it's healthy turnover is key to success. And bringing a diverse work crew coming is also key to, you know, whether it's age, gender, or whatever, background, all that. And I think a good mixture of it will keep all of us sort of on our toes.
What do you, so there's a lot happening in Baltimore with building your workforce and building the resilience. I think there's a lot happening across the water sector. It's definitely an area of emphasis. So despite it being pretty challenging right now and, you know, looming waves of retirements and that type of thing, what makes you optimistic about the future of the water workforce? You know, as you look years down the road, you know, I'm sure you feel like we'll get to a good place or, you know, what do you think about that?
Well, I think everything starts from a sound strategic plan. I mean, you got to have the vision. Without vision, you sort of just aimlessly sort of doing what you're doing on a day-to-day basis. So we have reset our strategic plan. We reset our vision and mission statements to making sure the organization as a whole is aligned from the top to all the way to the bottom. Keep everybody focused, and so I am full of optimism in terms of the success to our field. First of all, the water industry is not going to go away. We all need fresh water, and you know, that's life ingredient. And so this is the field is going to last for a long, long time to come. But at the same time, because of climate changes and other factors, that's now bringing the water to the forefront in people's mind, and the water quality of our streams in the ocean and the river and the bays and other. And so this is something that, you know, we need to have resiliencies in terms of consistent in terms of outcome. And so that's where most of our planning comes in. I've been there about 6.5 years, and everything we do is about, we don't want to look backward. I mean, we know we should have done a lot of different things, you know, to sit here, surmise about what we should have done, probably is waste of time, but having a good view in terms of what we want to accomplish in the future, whether is what the environment looks like, what kind of potential challenges that we may be facing, might not be in the immediate future, but something that might be looking at 10, 15, 50 years down the road, a lot of these things that we need to start thinking about, you know, sort of plant the seed and you know, get the right buy-in for the folks working on the side, plus the citizens. We don't want to spring any surprises on folks. So I think when we talk about old infrastructure, there's no resiliencies in terms of our ability to continue to want deliver excellent water to each individual household, because old infrastructure, it's a huge challenge. Sure. So we gotta have a sound strategy in place to ensure the resiliency is there, and we are able to always deliver the services that we say we're going to be delivering.
Yeah,
those are important.
You kind of have alluded to this, some of the issues I'm going to ask about here in kind of the last question, and that's, you know, Baltimore's a city that's, you know, had some social and economic struggles over the years, and there's a lot of efforts underway in Baltimore across the board at revitalizing the city and that type of thing. What role do you think water can play in kind of building a brighter future for Baltimore?
Well, as I said earlier, you know, life starts with water, and it's true. Baltimore is going through transformation, and as we continue to transform our city to be, you know, modern and today's city where people can actually enjoy being part of the city. But, you know, without clean water, without having sound wastewater treatments and all that, you don't really have the driving economic engine.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, I think that lots of people don't recognize is that the water industry is actually, would produce a lot of jobs. With our older infrastructure, we got close to 3,500 to 4,000 miles of pipelines on the ground for on the water side, another 2,500 miles on the wastewater side, and then of course the stormwater. All this infrastructure will require rehabilitations, and so the capital program is huge. Our six-year capital program is in the neighborhood of about $3.5 to $4 billion, and that means a lot of jobs.
Mm-hmm.
So jobs and water industry is really connected, and a lot of people don't see it that way. And so that's where what I call it today's sort of education that we're doing. So we spend a lot of time helping create job opportunities to buy, incentivize the vendors, the contractor coming set up shops in our city,
mm-hmm.
and do job shadowing or what I call it the mentor protege in terms of the contractor helping smaller firms. So in the eyes that in the long run they become prime instead of the sub. So we put up a lot of different what I call it the education program to help smaller firms to understand how do you work with the city, what's the procurement process look like, how do you do invoicing,
mm-hmm.
Some of the basic stuff, how do you go out there secure bonds, for example. A lot of stuff that folks don't know, we are trying to teach.
Wow.
Folks to do that, and aside from creating jobs and all that. So this is really what I call a multifaceted, holistic approach.
Mm-hmm.
We are 80% of the city's capital programs really resides in the Public Works Department.
Mm-hmm.
And so that means we alone is a big, big demand on contractors and employees, certainly. And we just have to step up and play our role and do it correctly.
Good. Well, thank you very much for spending some time with us today. Some great information, great perspective on especially workforce issues and kind of the economic side of things from Baltimore. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Travis.
Words on Water.